You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
Welcome to the DK Pittsburgh Sports Steelers podcast. I am Dale Lally, your host, and today I'll be going over some of the Steelers free agents for the 2022 season. Of course, the Steelers just wrapped up their season, and Mike Tomlin held all of his player exit interviews this week as the Steelers head into the offseason. So they have a little bit of time here to get some of these guys signed, and that would be mid-March when the free agency begins. So the Steelers have some time here to get some things done. Of course, the next big thing on the schedule for them will be going to the Senior Bowl in Mobile, Alabama in a couple of weeks. Of course, I'll be there with the coverage of everything that goes on in Mobile. Of course, the Steelers will be linked heavily to many of the quarterbacks. Five of the top six quarterbacks in this year's draft will be down at the Senior Bowl in Mobile, Alabama. I'll let you know what I hear and see with that and from that in a couple of weeks here as we get into the more into the off season. But looking at the Steelers free agent list going into this off season, obviously Ben Roethlisberger, his contract voids at the conclusion of the Super Bowl. He won't be back. He's retiring at the end of this season. Hasn't announced that yet, but that's a done deal. There gets a couple other guys who have contracts that void as well. One would be Juju Smith-Schuster. I think the Steelers will make a pitch to keep Juju Smith-Schuster. And I don't know that that's going to be necessarily a real tough sell for Juju or the team. He came back this year on a 1-year, $8 million deal. I could see the Steelers offering something similar again this year on a prove it deal because, quite frankly, he didn't get an opportunity to play a whole lot this season, did come back for the playoff game after injuring that shoulder and having surgery. You know, given the market for wide receivers and what other teams are looking for a wide receiver, they want that. You know, if you're going to pay a receiver $15 to $20 million a year, you probably want somebody who's an outside receiver, who's a game breaker. Juju's more of a slot receiver, has some trouble getting off of press coverage and those kind of things. That's why you play him in the slot more. And I think he has more value for the Steelers than maybe he has for some other teams. So I think, you know, something around that same 1-year, $8 million deal that he got this year could get that done pretty easily. Eric Ebron's deal also voids after this season. He won't be back. Akello Witherspoon, his contract actually voids after this year as well. He was on a 1-year deal with the Seattle Seahawks, who signed him to a 1-year, $4 million deal last year as a restricted free agent. Now he becomes an unrestricted free agent. The Steelers would love to have him back. He played really well for them in the second half of the season. Took him a little time to get in there, get acclimated. But once he did, he was a really good cover corner, showed some good ball skills, needs to get better with his tackling. That's one thing that I'm sure Mike Tomlin mentioned to him. And one of the reasons why he couldn't get on the field early, because he's just, you know, not a strong special teams player because of that lack of a tackling ability. But I think he'll get better with that. He's got good size. I think it's just a matter of getting him into training camp, a full off-season workout program. And you know, he could reap the benefits of that there. So those are the guys whose contracts void for the Steelers. Trey Turner as well had a voidable deal. I don't know that Trey Turner, you necessarily bring him back. You keep his number on the speed dial. If some other things don't work out, maybe you bring him back. But I would look to upgrade that right guard position if possible, either through free agency or in the draft. As far as the unrestricted guys, Joe Hayden is 33, going to be 33 in April. He has value in the locker room. I think that's going to be a difficult one for Mike Tomlin. And Joe Hayden in particular as well. You know, if you're Mike Tomlin, when you sat down with Joe Hayden, you say, look, we love what you've done for us. We would like to have you back. We can't guarantee you a starting spot. If you do come back, you're probably going to have to compete. There's a chance that you would only play in nickel and dime situations on the outside. We really like Akella Witherspoon. We'd like to bring him back. Obviously we have Cam Sutton back. We think you could be in that mix as one of our top three cornerbacks, but it might be a situation where Witherspoon would play ahead of you in the base defense. And, you know, he talked to Hayden to see if he's, you know, amenable to coming back under that. Maybe he wants to go and try to win a Super Bowl next year. I'm sure there's some teams out there in need of a veteran cornerback, you know, who could be a leader in that locker room. He still wants to be a cornerback. He has no interest in playing safety. I think you keep that conversation with him and keep the line of communication open. Terrell Edmonds, I know a lot of people looked at what happened with him last offseason when the Steelers didn't pick up his fifth-year option, and they saw that as the team being unhappy with him. That is absolutely 100% false. They're not unhappy with the play of Terrell Edmonds. They've not been unhappy with that play. But they couldn't pay Terrell Edmonds. They couldn't pick up the fifth-year option on Terrell Edmonds and also do it for Minkah Fitzpatrick and then be tied, locked in on paying their two safeties $20 million in 2022. What they'll do is try to get a deal done with Terrell Edmonds before he gets to free agency. I could see, you know, a 4-year $24 million deal, a 4-year $26, $27, $28 million deal, something along those lines that keeps that salary a little bit lower in 2022 and gives them some flexibility to do some other things. But they like the way that he works with Minkah Fitzpatrick. They have a nice symbiotic relationship there. Edmonds was really good this year in terms of covering tight ends, and they'd like to have him back. James Washington is another scheduled unrestricted free agent. He was essentially the number four receiver going into the season. That really didn't change even when Juju Smith-Schuster went out for the season. James Washington remained the number four receiver because he doesn't really play much in the slot. That job went to Ray McLeod with a lot of the slot work. That's a disappointment, for a former second round pick that never really seemed to get his feet under him after a pretty good 2019 campaign where he led the team in receiving yards. They drafted Chase Claypool the next year, and Claypool moved ahead of him. Now, late this year, Claypool and Washington ended up sharing some time because of some of Claypool's issues on the field. But still, Washington didn't do much with that. He could have some value to another team. We'll see. But there are, as the situation was with Juju Smith-Schuster, a lot of receivers out there. The draft is always deep in receivers. I think the Steelers wouldn't mind having James Washington back. If he's your number four, you're in pretty good shape. There might be a team out there that sees him as more than that. We'll see. I would put James Washington's return at probably 60% that he leaves and 40% that there's a chance that he returns. Speaking of Ray McLeod, I think that he's a guy that they'll want back, but not back in that role as the number three guy. You're much better off with Ray McLeod being your five or six and just being your return guy. I think he's got value as a return man. The question becomes then, do you want to pay him the kind of money that is going to take, more than $1 million a year to be a return guy? I'm not so sure about that. Maybe you can get younger and cheaper there, but he has proven to be a pretty solid guy in that regard. And, you know, when he had to play down the stretch, made some big catches at times. You'd like to always, of course, do better than that. But, you know, as your number five or six, not a bad option. He's going to be active on game day because of the return abilities. So we'll see what happens with Ray McLeod. Arthur Millette is also an unrestricted free agent this year. And I thought he did some good things out of the slot. I think there's some things – I think you'd wouldn't mind having him back, but you'd also like to have somebody take that job from him. And if that happens, then he doesn't make the team coming out of training camp, but proved to be a reasonably valuable guy that they brought in. He's not Mike Hilton. He's not a great blitzer, but Hilton's not great in coverage. Millette was okay in that area. But I still think you can do better there. Montrevious Adams is a guy that a lot of fans want back, and I get it. I think he stepped in a tough situation after he was signed off the practice squad of the Saints and stepped right into the starting lineup. But let's also not forget that he was part of that defense that allowed all those rushing yards this season. I think he's would be, again, much like, you know, the situation with Akello Witherspoon. You'd like to see what he looks like after having a year of or a training camp and learning what they want out of their system. And then maybe, you know, you have something there. He's obviously athletic. He's a big guy. He has some pedigree. He was a third round draft pick, was a highly recruited guy coming out of high school. So I think they'd like to have him back. I think he wants to be back. I see that deal getting done. Same thing with Taco Charlton, who they signed late in training camp. Flashed at times, made some plays. Again, high pedigree guy, was a former first round draft pick. If you bring him back as a rotational guy, I think that works. I think you have something there that you can certainly work with Montrevious Adams and Taco Charlton. So I think both of those guys are back. Can't say the same about BJ Finney or Kalen Ballage. I think you'd like to do better than both of those guys. Finney had some back issues this season. When he did get a chance to play, I know the Steelers at one point thought very highly of him, but he's 31 now. And, you know, I think, you know, maybe the time has come that one is, again, you'd like to do better than that. Same thing with Ballage. I think the Steelers really need to go out and find, if they're going to go sign a veteran running back, get somebody who has a little more pedigree than Ballage. He did some good things for them this year, but never really settled into any kind of real role. They need somebody behind Najee Harris who can provide something should he go down. And I'm not sure that Ballage is that guy. Chukwuma Okorafor is another one of the guys who's going to be a unrestricted free agent. And he's a guy, to me, they should sign. He's a 25-year-old, actually hasn't even turned 25 yet. Right tackle, has left tackle ability, still getting better. He just finished his fourth season. Two of those have been as a starter. I think he's an average NFL starting tackle. And those kind of guys do get paid on the open market. I think there's a lot of teams out there that could use a guy like that. I'd try to get something done with him before training camp or before the free agency period opens. And, the thing about Okorafor is he doesn't miss a lot of time. He's been healthy. He's been durable. That means something, especially when you compare him to the guy who he was battling in training camp with 2 years ago for that right tackle job, Zach Banner. He's the exact opposite, hasn't been available. So if it comes down to a situation where you're either going to keep Okorafor or you're going to keep Banner, I'm keeping Okorafor. 10 times out of 10, he has to be the guy that you keep just because of that durability factor. The final unrestricted free agent for the Steelers going into this offseason is Miles Killebrew. And, you know, when he got signed, a lot of people kind of turned their nose up at that and said, what are they signing this guy for? He made a couple big plays for him this year. He made a lot of big special teams plays for him, blocked two kicks. That can't be overstated. I mean, this is the kind of guy that you need on your roster as a core special teams guy, and also got some run on defense, not a ton, but when they played teams that were run heavy, particularly the Ravens, he was out there a lot in those games. So I think there's some value there. Wouldn't mind having him back on another 1-year deal if they can make that happen. And I certainly think that they can, would probably like to see that go happen as well. If you're looking at their restricted guys, it's Robert Spillane, Dwayne Haskins, Marcus Allen. Spillane is definitely going to be back. They'll tender him an offer. They probably they'll also tender an offer to Dwayne Haskins. Allen, to me, I know he played some, and you know that was more because of the inadequacies of the other linebackers, injuries, COVID issues. You'd love to bring somebody in that's better than Marcus Allen. You would hope that's Buddy Johnson after 1 year on the roster. I just think you can always do better than Marcus Allen, although he's been a core special teams player as well. So we'll see where that goes with that. But that is the Steelers' list of free agents. I think that's what they're going to try to do with some of those guys. There's a few guys there that they will try to re-sign. Some that they're going to let test the free agent market and see what happens. But going to be an interesting offseason. We'll talk a little bit more about what's going on with the season that's still going on right after this.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Welcome back to the DK Pittsburgh Sports Steelers podcast. I'm Dale Lally, your host, and we're going to take a look now at the NFL playoff slate here. The Steelers, of course, got knocked out of the playoffs last week in that game against the Chiefs, and the Chiefs now get a big game this week against the Buffalo Bills, a team that beat them in the regular season pretty handily, too, in Buffalo, or in Kansas City, I should say. Interesting game, and that's going to be one of the Sunday games this week. Actually, it's going to be the late game on Sunday. Kansas City favored by 2 in this game. The over-under is 53.5, so the people in Vegas think that this is going to be a high-scoring affair. I kind of do as well, and I kind of like the Bills in this one. I think they're playing good football. I think their defense will be the difference in this one. I think the offenses are pretty similar. I'd give that maybe a slight edge to the Chiefs in terms of the offensive output in this one. But I think the defensive side of things definitely favors the Bills. And I think they pull out the win here. I know Kansas City is a very tough place to play. But I really like the way that Josh Allen's playing. The Bills are running the football a little bit more over the last 6 weeks. They've gotten Devin Singletary a little bit more involved. And so I think that they pull this one out and wind up in the AFC championship game. And, who they'll play? Well, that remains to be seen, because the other AFC game would be Cincinnati, the 4 seed, at Tennessee, the 1 seed. That game's going to be at 4:30 on Saturday. Tennessee's favored by 3.5. Derrick Henry's coming back. When the Titans have had Derrick Henry and A.J. Brown this season, they only had it for 7 games. They went 6-1. They're going to have Derrick Henry and A.J. Brown available in this game. I like the Titans to win this one. I know Joe Burrow and the Bengals are a great story and everybody's high on those guys. I think they've got a bright future. But I just think that the Titans in this game, they're rested. Everything is getting everybody back here. I think that the Titans win this game and end up hosting the Bills next week in the AFC Championship. Over in the NFC at the 8:15 on Saturday night, you get the 49ers at the Packers. 49ers, the sixth seed. They upset the Dallas Cowboys last week. Not that that was an upset. I picked the 49ers to beat the Cowboys. But in this one, Green Bay is favored by 6. The over-under is 47. These two teams met during the regular season in San Francisco, the Packers winning that one 30-28. The Packers went 8-0 at home this year, and only one of those games was decided by less than a touchdown. That included a 10-point win over the Steelers early in the season. They've been very good, and they were very good this year despite missing a lot of key pieces. They're going to get some of those key pieces, much like the Titans. That week off for them gave them a chance to get some of these guys who had been on injured reserve back. I think the 49ers are a matchup problem for anybody, especially if you can't stop the run, because they know who they are. They're a very run-heavy team. They rely on that more so than any other team in the league. It's going to be a cold day in Lambeau Field. That won't affect the 49ers. But I like the Packers in this one, and I like them to cover that spread. I really think that, Aaron Rodgers is playing really good football right now. He'll figure out a way to win this. And again, you're getting guys like David Bakhtiari, Jair Alexander's back. They're getting healthy at the right time. And that's a key thing for this one. The final game of the weekend is Sunday at 3:00. We have the Rams, the 4 seed, at the 2 seed, the Buccaneers. This is another rematch. And the Rams beat the Bucs that was earlier this season. That was in Los Angeles. Tampa Bay's favored by 3 in this game. The over-under is 48. I'll say this. The Buccaneers are kind of the opposite of some of these other teams that are getting healthy at the right time. The Bucs are getting a little more banged up. They're missing, they could be without Tristan Wirfs. They're all pro right tackle. He had a high ankle sprain last week against the Eagles. They got some issues at wide receiver. No Chris Godwin in this game. They'll use Jalen Ramsey on Mike Evans, I would think, quite a bit, as much as possible. That's going to make things awfully difficult for the Buccaneers in this game. I really kind of like the Rams in this one. I think that the Bucs are vulnerable. Tom Brady typically doesn't get to a Super Bowl when he has to. I don't think he's ever gotten to a Super Bowl when he had to play a wild card game. Well, they just had to play a wild card game last week. So I kind of like the Rams to pull off the upset here. And that would give me a Rams Green Bay NFC championship to go along with that Bills Tennessee AFC championship. That's what we have to look forward to this weekend. We'll be back again next week. I'll preview maybe some of the Senior Bowl stuff, and we'll talk about the conference championship games along with what's facing the Steelers in the upcoming weeks here. We'll see if Mike Tomlin makes any changes on his coaching staff. We'll get to all of that here. Lots of offseason stuff to get to, but we appreciate you listening to the DK Pittsburgh Sports Steelers podcast. You can like the podcast on whatever platform that you listen to us on, Spotify, Apple, whatever it is. We appreciate that. Gives the all of our podcasts, it raises the level up for that. But I'm Dale Lally, and thank you for listening to the DK Pittsburgh Sports Steelers podcast.